Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, it's The Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Oh boy, I know the NBA is glad he decided to do this yesterday when so much stuff was happening around the NBA. You know, you had Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard and all the coaching firings, but LeBron took aim last night on Twitter.
He can't help himself. Got to stay in the news cycle.
That's right. Got to promote that movie, man. You know, he does have that. I heard Chris Harrington, I hear Chris Harrington the most because I drive in usually during the Chris Harrington segment.
Okay.
And I felt like he took unnecessary gratuitous shots at the Space Jam 2 trailer. You know, I said, you know, we can't sort of decide.
They are a little ridiculous, aren't they?
Did we not come on here today we came on here the day after the trailer was unveiled. And we said it doesn't look that bad. I don't think the trailer made the movie look bad.
Yeah, but now it's they got all these ESPN personalities saying, oh, LeBron had to play. You know, it just feels overdone. Well, leave some for the movie.
Right. I don't remember what the promotion schedule was like for Mike in the first one. Do you?
It wasn't this desperate to be good.
Right.
That's what it was like.
Well,
yes, it promoted itself, and you have to, but it wasn't. This feels, I got to live up to. It's just like trying to chase the six rings.
I mean, you do know.
You're trying to chase the original Space Jam. You're setting yourself up.
I have a framed picture/poster of the original Space Jam poster in my room.
I know how much it meant to you, you know? and to a great many others, and that's the point. He's never going to match that, just like he's never going to match six.
It shaped who I am.
So I think in this situation, best to do when you're trying to live up to something so big, as little as possible. Right? So people are... Oh,
well,
okay.
You have to promote the movie, dude.
But give him as little as possible. That feels overdone and desperate.
It's a cartoon movie.
Now, is that gratuitous shots of LeBron? Am I doing what Chris Harrington did? Because that's how I feel.
I just feel like it's a cartoon movie. We're going to give it a shot. It's okay to overdo it. It's a cartoon.
I don't hate on him to the point. My kid wore a LeBron James jersey to camp yesterday. Not like we just hate on him. My kid, if he likes it, he's going to like it.
Anyway, LeBron was not promoting Space Jam 2 when he went on his tweet storm yesterday, but he was taking aim at the NBA. This is what he tweeted. I knew exactly what would happen.
Of course he did.
They all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries isn't just part of the game. It's the lack of pure rim rest before starting back up. This is the best time of the year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our favorite players. If there's one person that know about the body and how it works all year round, it's me.
It's me!
I speak for the health of all of our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of the year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your favorite guys right now, and I know all about the business side too/factor, so don't even try me. I get it. Now, The Lakers.
Me,
of course,
was in caps, by the way, wasn't it, John?
That's right.
You left that out.
That's right.
Yeah. I saw it.
The Lakers had the Lakers. Of course, your 2019-20 NBA champions. They had 71 days between winning that title and then, of course, the season beginning again.
They also kept getting paychecks.
72 games in 146 days during the regular season. LeBron missed 26 of 28 games in the second half of this regular season because of that ankle injury. And then Anthony Davis was battling all throughout the year. He ended up having to basically miss game six and the last game of that series against the Suns. And then we've talked about these injuries all year long. You know, you got Joel Embiid on a meniscus. You got James Harden on a hamstring. Kyrie Irving isn't playing right now. Chris Paul's got the COVID. Donovan Mitchell had the hamstring injury.
The ankle.
Mike Conley's got the hamstring. Jamal Murray had the ACL. Jalen Brown missed a lot of time. Luka was banged up. Russell Westbrook. So, you know, these are all major players, marquee players who were battling injuries. And anecdotally, I will just say, it does feel like there are more of these types of injuries this year than years past.
Well, it's not feel like. You're absolutely right, John. Kevin Pelton's got it. The average number of players sidelined per game due to injury is up, not due to any COVID protocols or rest. That number's at 5.1. That's the highest that figure has ever been since it started being tracked back in 2009-10.
Wow.
The last previous record was 4.8, which means that injuries were up across the board, this again from Kevin Pelton over at ESPN, by about 5%. Okay, so it wasn't just what we thought. It was. Injuries were up. It wasn't just what our eyes were telling us. The fact is, that's true. And to take it a step further, you just mentioned all of those high-level elite players. This season's All-Stars missed 19% of games, which is the highest percentage in a single season in league history. On average, All-Stars missed 13.7 regular season games each. So LeBron's got the data to back him up, even though the NBA came out after LeBron made all his statements and said, look, we don't have a real injury issue. It's not. Well, Kevin Pelton's numbers disprove what the NBA say. Like, the injuries were up.
Yep.
And some of it, yes, you can attribute to a shorter offseason, shortest we've ever seen. That said, okay, that's where I stop. Okay, that's what LeBron's got. Kawhi Leonard wasn't just running out there and then fell down, oh, my knee, my ACL, without something happening. You see what I'm to the point I'm making?
Yes.
It that wasn't, oh, we played too short an off season, went too hard during the regular season, and now all of a sudden I'm falling down because my ACL's injured and I'm out.
Yep.
No, he ran into someone. You know, Kyrie Irving, you can't predict this.
That's true. It
comes down on Giannis's foot, and that didn't have anything to do with the time that they were off. Okay, that's the bottom
point.
Line. It sucks that we're losing these high-level players, and of course LeBron going to come in and tell you this, I told you so, but it's case by case, unfortunately. And I do believe the shorter offseason has led to the most injuries we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But to be saying all these stars are out because we got this short offseason is just not accurate. It's a case-by-case basis. You know how many games Kawhi Leonard played this year? Y'all, take a stab at it. Played 72 games total, as NBA teams played 72 games this year. How many think Kawhi played?
72.
He played 52. A lot of that was load management.
Oh, that's true.
Preparing,
yeah.
Right, for and that's what a lot of these stars did. They yeah. load managed, but to that point, there was no huge wear and tear for Kawhi during a regular season that he's playing 52 games.
Right.
Okay, 52 of the 72. And then in some breakdown in the playoffs that led to this ACL injury. No, freak accident, ran into Ingles late in the game. We're all questioning, man, did he need to be out there? The game was sort of under control at that point. But you just can't, it's so convenient for LeBron to come on and do this now. Chris Paul, by the way, got nothing to do with this, the whole COVID thing. By the way, Matt Barnes also says that Chris Paul is told him as of yesterday that he's vaccinated. So we'll see. That sounds like what Jalen Rose initially said, that it's going to be short stay there. But just because the numbers all correlate,
mm-hmm.
right, and you got all these guys out, look, here's the deal. Y'all wanted to get paid. You know, you wanted those paychecks to keep coming. And yes, LeBron said then, I think he did the whole face plant. You know that emoji where the hands in the forehead's in the hand? That emoji we use, I use it all the time. That's what he said when the NBA announced the short schedule. Wasn't like he said, oh, no, guys, we need to sit up here and think about, you know, I know we love our money,
right?
But this is going to cost us down the stretch. No, he did the face palm thing.
Yep.
He knew it was going to be tough. And now he's got these numbers to sort of back it up. Guys, it's not always 1 + 1 = 2 here. Yes, that's 1 + 1 does, but you're trying to make that the situation here, and there's much more to the story than that is the way I would phrase it.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right. There's nothing you can do about freak accidents. There's nothing you can do about freak injuries.
That's what a lot of this is that. There's nothing you can do about Chris Paul getting apparently a positive COVID test.
Right.
When in this case, being vaccinated. You can't. That didn't happen because of the shortened off season or anything like that.
Yeah.
And people were piling them all on now and saying, okay, this is because of shortened off season, and it's not happening.
Well, and here's the thing, too. It ain't going to change the start of next season. I mean, they just follow the money, right? Like, they're going to start on time next season too. That's going to be October. It's going to start in October of next season. You know, it's not going to change.
LeBron
so.
Never said, "Hey guys, nuh-uh. You know what? Forget. I know we love our paychecks, but let's stop. This is going to cost us down." He didn't go that far.
Mm-hmm.
right? But now he's trying to come back and say, I told you so.
Right.
Me. Nobody knows about the body better than me.
Yep.
And this was too short a time. That's why you got Chris Paul and Donovan's hurting and Kawhi's out. No, man, it doesn't work like that. Plus, it's just more genius because he got the numbers back. Just wait to stay in the news cycle. Stay out there. Keep your name out there. Hey, I'm changing numbers, guys. Hey, I told you that this was too short an offseason, guys. Hey, by the way, Space Jam 2, I want you to go see it, is coming up, guys, in July. This is just LeBron being LeBron. That's what, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of it, too. Mike didn't have to do all this.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I agree. But again, you know, LeBron's lived it right, so I can't hate on him too much. I just kind of hate on the LeBron PR machine.
Next story.
This came from Jason Munns over the CA yesterday. We didn't get to it, but I want you guys aware of it. The two of the sons of Lorenzen Wright going to be the focus of the ESPN E60 series. Y'all know it's got Lisa Salters and all mm-hmm. that. She's doing the reporting on that. That program is going to air. Again, this is from Munns over the Commercial Appeal. Been out for a day or so, so it may be old news to some of you, but I was not aware that they had been putting in this work in terms of trailing these sons over at ESPN. Again, it's Lisa Salters doing the reporting. Penny Hardaway is among those who were interviewed for the show. These promotional trailers and excerpts from the episode are expected to begin airing next week during SportsCenter, Outside the Lines, and during ESPN's other shows. Shamar and Lamar Wright, they're about to start their third season. Reading from Munns' story of commercialappeal.com as members over at SIU Edwardsville. And if I'm not mistaken, and I got to scroll down, it's Baroni, his son, who's coaching that team, if I'm
yep.
not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah. He's the coach at SIU Edwardsville.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he's got Shamar. And now Shamar averaged 9 points, 4.6 rebounds last season. Lamar led the team with 50 blocks while putting up 6.5 points, 3.4 boards per game. Again, this is from Jason Munns. We know the whole story at this point on Lorenzen and Shara Wright. And actually, she was just recently granted an evidentiary hearing that's set for July 6th. She's asked to have her guilty plea overturned. She's doing 30 years for.
What do you think of that?
Just
come on, man. Right?
Again, it's if they're going to listen to you, but I mean, you know how we all feel on it at this point, and everything that she's tried to do.
Yeah.
At one point, remember she was getting wheeled in and saying physically she couldn't. I mean,
yeah.
Isn't that what you do in this situation? Try to find every avenue you can to either shorten the time or whatever else it is.
Yeah.
Billy Ray's. His trial hadn't even happened yet. He was charged with first-degree murder. The former Collierville deacon she was in church with that is accused of pulling the trigger, his trial isn't due to start till January 21st, so he hasn't even had his trial yet.
Mm-hmm.
All that said, this won't be as much about that, even though that backdrop will be there, as it is the sons and following them around and everything they've had to deal with. Because as much as we look at this and say, man, Shara was evil, man, can't believe this, and look at what happened, all that, you've got a family involved of kids who still, and they've talked about this, still love their mom, right? Still love and
yeah.
miss
yeah.
their dad. And so that's the dynamic
sad.
Of this thing that we'll never fully grasp.
That's true.
We can have our opinions on it outside looking in. Say, man, how could those kids feel that way? You know, if no, we're not going to understand that because again, you grow up loving your mom, you grow up loving your dad, and so I'll be eager to see the sort of what they have to say about this. I wouldn't blame if they didn't have a thing to say about it.
Yep.
If it's just, I'd rather focus on basketball right now, because who would want to? Whether it's reliving it, answering questions about it, anything like that. But again, that series, that show, it's not a series, it's an installment, one show on ESPN's E60 series, going to be July 14th at 8 p.m. You'll start seeing the promos and trailers for it coming up next week.
Next story.
We talked about this a little bit with Jason Fitz on Monday. Madden 22 covers out. And they teased it, of course, by with the two GOATs. And Fitz's guess was it's going to be Tom Brady and Gronk. It is not Tom Brady and Gronk. It is Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
That's what I guessed.
Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. You got GOAT, baby GOAT. They are sharing the cover of Madden 22.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the only thing is two things. One is Patrick Mahomes was on the cover 2 years ago, and Tom Brady was on the cover, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. So these are guys who have already been on the cover individually, and so now they're coming on together.
After both appearing in the Super Bowl.
It makes sense. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense, but don't you feel like there shouldn't be repeat Madden cover athletes? Like, if you get it once, like, you've earned it. You don't really need to be on there again. I think there's enough choices that you could have gone with, you know, instead of the two guys you've already used. Like, I mean, and you know I'm not a Titans fan, but
I could smell this
get
coming.
Out of here. You're not a Titans fan?
Now you're going to give them a little bit of credit and say they should have put Derrick Henry on
Derrick Henry was a 2,000-yard rusher.
When was the last time he was on, though? Hadn't he been on the cover?
No.
Wow.
So I'm saying he's never been on the cover. Eddie George is on the cover, you know? Did Eddie George ever run for 2,000 yards?
No, but you have to have fantastic season year
well,
before.
Well, he did.
That's part of it. Not individually. There's some team to this, is there not?
I mean,
you have to be one of the better.
Lamar was the cover last year. What would you say about that team? They lost to the Titans.
Well, he was coming off MVP that year. He was coming off MVP.
Yes, but
and they had a hell of a season.
But Derrick, well, they lost to the Titans though.
Yes, but MVP, they go deep. They go. Yeah, they lose the Titans in the playoffs. But still, that's good enough. You're coming. You add that to MVP.
But Derrick Henry for 2,000 yards isn't good enough to you?
I'm just saying, not in a year where you got Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady.
You have Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady every year. That's
no,
yes,
you're coming off. That was the Super Bowl. That's the part you're missing out on. If this were two teams that had been eliminated second round in the playoffs, they wouldn't be sitting there. This is because you're coming off a Super Bowl with the two GOATs. Frankly, the young GOAT and the old GOAT.
So you like it.
I don't mind. I'm not to a point where I'm like ready. Oh, Derrick Henry would have been better than these two.
Well, I just
these
feel like,
they're the two faces of the league right now for the most part.
Well,
Tom, because he continues to win. Patrick, because of what he represents.
My only point is, like, they've already done it. So why are we going back to the well? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's highlight some new faces. That's all I'm saying. You know, like Henry Ruggs. Let's put Henry Ruggs on that thing. Josh Jacobs. I think he deserves it. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, bro.
Mason Crosby. One of the great young D linemen.
Lowest selling Madden they ever had. They put a Raider on the cover of that thing.
Well, here's
what's
funny.
Why don't you put the losingest quarterback over his first 7 years on it?
Then? Here's what's funny. I don't really even buy the physical copy of Madden
anymore.
That's
what I'm saying. And somebody tell me Derrick Henry's also 22 for Madden 22. I don't know what this. Are there different covers for this thing?
No, he's saying that.
What's he saying?
Well, yeah, I don't know. This is the MVP cover, I believe.
Okay.
No, oh, he's saying Derrick Henry's number. He's saying Derrick Henry's number is 22.
What did we say? He's saying it's 22, so put him on for Madden 22.
It's Madden 22.
That's not.
Why are you
y'all trying? Y'all trying to find all these reasons to get Derrick Henry on there?
I mean, if 2,000 yards not enough?
Guys, you got to break through. You got to break
through. Lamar didn't break through.
He won an MVP.
Derrick Henry would have won an MVP if he was a quarterback.
I don't think he's a finished product either, but if Derrick Henry was an MVP, we'd have a discussion here.
Lamar won the MVP for his rushing yards, bro.
I know why he won it.
If Derrick Henry would have lined up in the Wildcat, you'd have given him the MVP award.
I'm just saying, they weren't good enough last year to put him on the cover and say, sell, sell, sell.
But Lamar, the Ravens weren't the exact.
They had a huge regular season. Yes, they bowed out to the Titans, and I think I even called that one. So don't try to put me in this
strange bedfellow.
No, what it is John, you this amuses you that today you try to paint me as the anti-Titans guy in here when that role is clearly owned and will continue to be by you, not me. No, Derrick Henry was not when you got Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl last year.
I just feel like how many times are you going to get a friggin' 2,000-yard rusher? I mean, Tom Brady could have been on the cover every single year of his career, right? What about Josh Allen? You know, Josh Allen doesn't deserve a look, a sniff.
No.
You know, these are all.
Not when you got two goats.
You know, maybe we'll revisit this conversation. But anyway, that's who won out: Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, two previous cover athletes.
You're gonna get the digital
22.
Version anyway.
That's right. That is true. We'll come back. PJ Carlesimo is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NBA playoffs. Get his thoughts on Bucks and Nets tonight. On the 76ers meltdown. Ben Simmons. All that and more with PJ when we get back. Jason and John, 92.5 ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Solomon, get up. This morning, PJ Carlesimo making the rounds as part of ESPN's NBA playoff coverage, analyst for ESPN. Let's make PJ the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
PJ, what's happening? Appreciate the time, as always.
Good being with you guys. Appreciate it. No problem.
So, let's just sort of start with the meltdown from last night. When you sort of diagnose everything that went wrong for Philadelphia, of course, one of the biggest comeback. It is the biggest comeback in playoff history for the Hawks, and one of the biggest collapses in playoff history in the NBA generally. Where do you begin?
Well, I think you begin with Joel Embiid and the fact that he's not 100%. You just see him over the course of a game. I didn't expect him to be very mobile, to be honest with you. I even thought there was a chance he might not play the game, as important as it was, the way he finished up game four. And yet he's moving around. He looked, to me, totally different to the naked eye. Again, I'm, you know, a couple thousand miles away. We're doing the Bucks Nets series, but obviously watching the other one. And by the fourth quarter, he was not moving as well. He wasn't contesting. He wasn't getting off his feet in terms of contesting shots. He wasn't moving as quickly. And offensively, he had a little trouble getting by people, whereas he dominated early. He just took the ball to Capella or whoever was playing him, and I thought that was a major problem. Atlanta's bench has been, I don't know what number to put on it, five times better than the Philadelphia bench for most of the series. Last night it was Gallinari and I'm drawing a blank. I'm so confused with series. Two of them combined for big numbers off the bench. Gallo, and they just were getting whatever they wanted, and I thought that was huge because it seems the starters, you know, I mean, Philadelphia's starting group was still in good shape when Doc made his normal rotation late in the third quarter, and instead Lou, I'm forgetting, I apologize.
Williams, yep.
Yeah, I mean, Lou Williams and Gallo just like were getting what they needed to get, and Lou in particular in the fourth quarter. But you look at their numbers, it just got away from Philadelphia when they went to the bench, and by the time Doc gets the starters back in, to me, Joel wasn't as mobile, and I don't know whether he was tired, whether the knee, you know, was bothering him. It just didn't look like the same player to me late. But that's not giving Atlanta enough credit. John Collins was great. He had another double-double. Trae Young's been ridiculous. And, you know, you got the problem with Ben Simmons not being able to make free throws. And as much as everybody talks about that, and it's a concern, but he still does way more good things than, you know, than not. So you need to have him on the floor. But a guy who's an 86% free thrower, Joel missed a pair late in the game that were monster free throws. So, you know, take your pick. You know, you got about five different areas where for a good chunk of the first 36 minutes, Philadelphia played like the elite defensive team that they are. We're totally in control of the game. And then in the fourth quarter, they didn't play like, I mean, you know, they had three all defensive players. Ben makes first team, and Joel Embiid and Matisse Thybulle make second team all defense. They were in for most of the fourth quarter, and Lou Williams is going by him. Trae Young's going by him, and they're finishing at the rim when they do penetrate, and Joel doesn't have the same kind of lift that he had early. So, you know, Doc, you know, certainly didn't sleep a lot last night, and his head's got to hurt from as many different things as he's trying to address. I don't think the series is over by any stretch. You know, they were too good all year, but obviously they're in a very tough situation right now. And to me, especially if that injury to Joel is slowing him down a little bit.
Doc, Coach, I know you've probably seen the number 11-5 last two seasons when his teams have had a 16-point lead in a playoff game. Rest of the NBA 76-3 in that span. Do you just chalk that one up and say, well, doesn't some of this have to fall on Doc Rivers at some point when you've been to your point?
Well, anytime you're a coach and it doesn't work out, it falls on you.
Right.
Sometimes disproportionately. I would say, no, it doesn't fall on Doc as much as it falls on right now. Joel and Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris going 2-for-11 last night. The players that are on the floor and the players that were on the floor for the Clippers last year, to me, it falls equally on them. Doc would be the first to say, hey, I'm the coach. His first comments after the game last night, we got to do a better job. We, meaning the staff and the players. But I think really when you look at these teams, Philadelphia had Brett Brown coaching in the past. Brett's a real close friend, and some of these were pinned on Brett then when these guys let playoff games get away from them. That Clippers series isn't over yet. They might be pinning some stuff on Lou before it's over. So I think when it keeps happening repeatedly with the same group of players, you got to wonder, maybe it's not the coaches, maybe it's the players. So, I'm always going to come down on the side of coaches anyhow. So,
is the Ben Simmons shooting and free throw, the disaster that we saw last night at the free, is that fixable, Coach?
I would think yes, but it's easy for me to say when you got a guy as talented as he is. And again, Brett was a good friend. Brett says motivated. Obviously, they've had more than one. I'm sure it hasn't been the same person all the time that Ben's been in Philadelphia working with him. At this point, it's just such a mental thing to an extent that's what scares you a little bit. I hadn't realized until going kind of deeper into the Milwaukee numbers, Giannis is similar. But yeah, this is Giannis's eighth year in the league, and if I'm remembering the numbers correctly, years 2 through 6, 5 years, he shot over 72% from the free throw line. One of them he shot 77%. How could he be shooting what he's shooting? Last year he shot 63%. This year he got it up to 68% from the free throw line in the regular season. So, you just shake your head. It's not that they don't have people working with them, besides the coaching staffs we have now. It's not that he's not putting in the time, between games in the off season and during the regular season. How do you fix it? We're not talking average athletes. We're talking we're talking all NBA caliber, all-stars that they're having trouble fixing this with. Wilt Chamberlain was arguably the best athlete to ever play this game, and he could never get the free throw thing together. And yet the night he scored 100, didn't he make most of them or all but, out of 22 or something like that? You can't figure it out. It's a major problem. I still think you don't, a possession, do you maybe take him out late in the game or something like that? Yeah, but when you're talking, your all-star, your franchise player, you can't mess with him too much. This is the way he is. He's doing a lot more good things than bad. You can't start not playing him the last 4 minutes of a game or, from the 5-minute mark to the 2-minute mark and then you put him in. So it's a problem. It's just that's what you're buying into. It's really, I know it's more accentuated, and I'm not saying it's not more severe, but you got guys that are good defensive players that can't score for you. You got guys that can't shoot threes. You got guys that can't guard anybody, but they're good offensive players. So his limitation and Giannis's with free throws is just right out there and seems to be hurting you a lot more. When they split, you're getting one. A good offensive team, you only average a little more than one in possession anyhow. So, you could go round and round with this one, but I just don't see him taking him out for significant time. You take him out for particularly in a game 6 elimination game or a game 7, yeah, you're going to be more apt to do it, and he's going to be more apt to understand. But you start doing that on a regular basis, you got a problem with one of your two franchise players that you have a boatload of money invested in.
Coach, what's the first adjustment you're making tonight in Game 6 if you're Mike Budenholzer? Is it just a fiery speech? Was there something you saw? Is it saying, look, Giannis, it's an elimination game. There's going to be times I need you on KD. What are you doing, Coach, if you're in those shoes tonight?
No, he may look at Giannis on KD. Giannis fouled out the other night, which everybody forgets. I mean, late in the game, he had fun. You know, I didn't think you could do it the other night. I think, frankly, you could have put Kareem, I'm trying to think of who else, Shaq, LeBron, and four other guys on KD the other night. It wouldn't have mattered. He was in the he was in one of those zones that, forget about it. When you can dribble it and shoot it from three and you're an unselfish player and you're a money player that makes and takes big shots at the end, that one possession, remember the possession he went out and James was in trouble, like out closer to half court than he was the three-point line. They had him kind of boxed in. KD goes running out, basically, and gets the ball, takes one dribble because the clock's about to go off. The shot clock and buries it. I mean, it's ridiculous, the shots he made. I think Bud may look at if Giannis is not in foul trouble late, he may look at it fourth quarter. I think the bigger concern is they have to limit the games they've limited Brooklyn's 3-point field goal attempts. Mm-hmm. They won. The other three games, they got up near 40 3-point attempts up, and obviously that's hurt them. They also need to make some threes themselves. The three-point line is so important in this series. It's incredible. When they get stops, they could run, then Giannis gets to score. I actually thought the other night, I've lost track of days, but game five was Giannis's best game in terms of shot selection. He wasn't burping up inappropriate threes. He took one early, made it, then he took another one that you had to expect. The shot that bothered me of all the shots Giannis took was on the left baseline when he had James Harden guarding him, and he settled for that kind of like Akeem, you know, fadeaway. It's easy for me to sit here and say he shouldn't have done that, but I mean, I thought he was really good with his shot selection in game five. He also dropped a pass. When it happened live, I said to Sean Kelly, we were doing the game together, Sean, I got to see that again. Maybe Chris made like a low pass that would hit him in the shins. I watched the replay. It hit him dead in the hands.
Yep.
If he catches that and dunks it or makes a layup, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say he probably would have, we might have had overtime the other night. So it wasn't like they got killed. Yes, they had a big lead, but there's not a lot of people going to go into Brooklyn and you know, really beat them up, particularly when KD goes for 49 and Jeff Green's making every shot he's looking at. So it was a tough night, and it was a tough loss, but they came damn close to getting it. So, I don't think you change a lot of stuff. If they can guard the three-point line better, it would be huge for two reasons. It will slow Brooklyn down a little bit, but it might get them playing downhill. Giannis, when they're running, not after taking the ball out of bounds, but off turnovers or misses, he's like a totally different player.
Agreed.
When you slow those guys down and get them in the half court, you got a chance.
Yeah.
In terms of the Nets tonight, and it was a warrior effort from James Harden, who's coming back early from this hamstring, and clearly he was not right in game five. He did gut it out, though, and he was out there for 41 minutes. And
46,
I know
46, excuse me, it was 46.
So 46, wow. Yeah, I mean,
which to me, if you'd asked me before, first of all, I didn't think he was going to play.
Right.
Secondly, 46 minutes, I'd have said you're out of your mind. There's no way he's playing 46 minutes.
So to that point, PJ, he did not shoot the ball. I mean, it was historically bad for James. Can it get better? Do you expect him to shoot the ball better tonight?
Without question, if they play him, you could have, and I'm sure they did, a healthy conversation about, hey, maybe we roll the dice and don't play James, see if we can win without him, and then he's got a couple more days rest going into the next round, or we have him a little healthier for game seven back in Brooklyn on Saturday. I don't know if they – I'm sure they had the discussion. James might have said, hey, I don't want to hear about it. I'm playing, which was certainly part of the conversation the other night. And Steve Nash more or less told us that. He basically said, look, if James wants to play, we're going to play him. So I think it will be the same thing tonight. I don't think he'll go 1-for-10 again. Just because he could shoot right-handed and not go 1-for-10 again, I think. But I just think he did help them way more than I thought he would have in terms of the rebounding. He had eight assists and six rebounds, and Bruce Brown, a couple guys missed shots. He should have had double-digit assists. He made a couple of other good passes setting teammates up that they didn't make shots. So, you know, if he just threw the ball to KD and Jeff Green and Blake Griffin, he'd add even more assists. But I do think he'll play better if he plays. I'll be shocked if he can play 46 minutes again. Even KD, I mean, he is superhuman, but, you know, I would think Steve will try and find a way to rest him a little bit if he can in this game. 48 minutes is,
yeah.
And again, KD, it's one, you can score 48 and play great offense. He had, I don't have the, I'm trying to find a box score in front of me from doing too many different series. He some of the other stuff he did, he had 17 rebounds. You could talk about a guy getting 17. Like if Jonas got 17 rebounds, you'd be talking just about that. He had 10 assists. If Jai had 10 assists, you'd say, yeah, man, that's unbelievable. Yeah. He had 3 steals. He had 2 block shots. Oh, and by the way, he got 49 points. I mean, he was playing both ends of the floor, and he was involving his teammates, and he was helping his teammates. I don't think it's possible, not for KD, I don't know if it's possible for anybody to have a game like that again. So there's a lot of things went right for Brooklyn. Maybe the most important thing, and I don't know why. I know it's better in the playoffs now because you got people in buildings, and it's a lot tougher to play on the road. But these guys have played 8 games now, regular season and playoffs, and the home team's won every time. That's really strange this year, but that's what it's been. So maybe being back in five-serve form will get them to Game 7.
Is, when you look out west, Coach, is Phoenix, as long as Chris Paul gets back relatively soon from the health and safety protocols, is Phoenix the team to beat out there now that, you look at the injuries, what's happened to the Clippers? Paul was great last night, but can they get through? Is Phoenix the team to beat?
I'm topping out. I mean, it's a very fair question, but, I mean, you got 3 what-ifs. If the Clippers have Kawhi Leonard healthy, no, then I think they're as good as Phoenix or Utah if Mike Conley's healthy.
Yeah.
Plus, I didn't think Donovan McNabb looked 100% last night either. As much as he made some good plays, he was dragging his leg a little bit at times. So it's really sad what's happened with the injuries this year with the playoffs. I mean, it's always a factor. I remember when we were lucky enough to win when I was, sitting on the San Antonio bench, and almost every, you remember KD and Klay Thompson going down. You remember when Kyrie and Kevin Love were hurt in the finals. I mean, that was just in the finals alone. We're not even done with the second round, and we got wholesale injuries to major players. So I think the West health is going to be a major, major factor. I think there's at least 3, and we're discounting the 2 teams that are still alive in those 2 series. But I think if you go with the chalk, the teams that finished, at the top, Mike Conley, Kawhi, and CP3, how healthy they are might be the deciding factor in the playoffs.
I think you're absolutely right.
Of course, on to PJ Carlesimo. We're going to be on the call for Bucks Nets tonight, ESPN Radio analyst for ESPN in the NBA playoffs. Then last thing, sort of off the playoff beat, Coach, Penny Hardaway, we know him here obviously very well in Memphis. His name has come up in NBA coaching circles. Adrian Wojnarowski reported that teams are doing intel on him and that he may get offers to interview for head coaching jobs, and there are certainly a lot of them in the NBA. What do you make of Penny Hardaway being a name for these coaching openings around the league?
I think it makes a lot of sense. I think our league's always been a copycat league, and I think some coaches have come in and not done a good job, done very, very good jobs. You look at this year alone, I call Quinn Snyder more a coach than a player. And that's not being fair to him because he was a great college player. But Steve Nash, obviously. Monty Williams, obviously. I mean, look at Doc and Nate McMillan. I don't want to start naming ones, and I'm overlooking somebody else. But I think that has been a recent trend. Given that's a recent trend, Penny makes a ton of sense because of how good a player he was and because he's invested time. They're hiring other people, and you can't do, I don't think, a better job than Steve Nash has done so far. But they're hiring other people with none or virtually no coaching experience. So Penny is ahead of the curve with that. He's coached. He's put practice plans together. He's handled losing streaks, players, and all of that. So he's more prepared than some of the guys, I think. So I think it would make sense. I don't think it hurts him either. When I was at the first time I got involved, I was very lucky. I got the Portland job. For a while, if you're a college coach, you said, I don't want the rumor out there that I might go to the pros. That might hurt recruiting. The way it is now, that might help recruiting. Mm-hmm. Guys might say, hey, I want to go play for this guy. He played played in the NBA, and you know, he may even be coaching in the NBA someday. So I don't think there's a downside. I think if I'm the administration, I'm a little nervous because you don't want to lose Penny. But I don't see it hurting their program. I think if anything, it enhances his ability to recruit and attract players.
Agreed completely. PJ, great stuff
as
always.
So much,
always
Coach.
Appreciate your time. We'll be listening tonight. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Take it easy.
Yep. Too.
He is PJ Carlissimo, going to be again on the call, ESPN Radio for Bucks and Nets. I think he likes the Bucks. Did you kind of get that sense from him? I think he's feeling the Bucks in this one.
Yeah, I do.
I think the Nets are due for a letdown. I that's just what I'm feeling tonight.
Well,
off top.
He just likes, he likes Bucks. I heard him this morning on Get Up Too. He likes Bucks at home.
Right. That's
where they're much tougher.
Yes.
He's been about the Bucks, whoever the home team is in the series, he's been about. And the Bucks have been good at Fiserv. Yes. And Fiserv. They've been good there, and I was listening to this morning. That's why he likes them tonight.
Yeah. So thanks to PJ Carlissimo for joining us on the show today. Always good to catch up with him. Ryan McDonough is going to join us from Odyssey Sports. We'll talk to him.
He put together a lot of these parts at Phoenix right now that have got them rolling.
That's
the number
right.
two seed over in the not the Chris Paul parts of it.
That's
but
true.
The young pieces. Yes.
A lot of the core. Yeah. So we'll get into all that with Ryan McDonough.
Their
chances to make the NBA Finals and more. The path got a lot easier with Kawhi going out. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
We'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So the Memphis Grizzlies on Twitter just asked a really interesting question.
Oh yeah?
Past or present? Alright. That's anybody. If you could have dinner with one Grizz, who would it be?
Wait a minute. Are we saying current or anybody? You said past,
past
or present.
Past or present, yeah, man.
Oh. Yeah, you know old man got to catch up.
Yeah, so past would be like previous Grizzly.
All the options just started going.
Well, you have lots of options when you go to Wendy's, you know. You have lots of options.
No, I'm 4 for $4. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically going to be that double stack.
So the Grizzlies asked this question on Twitter, and I actually think it's a really good question, an interesting question. Because I think there's a lot of different ways you could go with it. I don't think there's an obvious answer.
I do think that there's an obvious answer. So
well, it's dinner, so dude. It's not lunch. You know
is
what I'm
it
saying?
Obvious?
Yes.
I don't think it's obvious.
There's one answer to this question.
All right. I disagree. It might be obvious to you.
Oh, no.
To you.
I think my answer is the answer of most Grizzlies fans.
Go ahead, man. Who is it?
It's T.A. We're going to go.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna go over to Gus's. Because you would be entertained.
That's not. Yeah. Is that dinner? That feels like more like a lunch.
What? You want to go to Fleming's or something? Like,
yeah, I mean, when I think dinner, I think
wine?
Like a nice dinner, man. Yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely. I mean, I
would say whether it's at Gus's or Fleming's, the answer is still the same. It's T.A. You want to be entertained.
You wouldn't go to dinner with Allen Iverson.
You want
to
hear some stories? I mean, does he even count? Did he even get into
a
game?
Past Grizzly.
He barely got off the bus. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't count him as a Grizzly.
He is a past Grizzly.
And what you going to ask Allen Iverson about?
Dude,
he wasn't a Grizzly?
Dude.
Ask him about the
Allen
Philly
Iverson
year?
Is hanging in this stupid studio.
Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense, frankly.
Why do we have this?
You know, I think
it's run its course.
We were mocking Allen Iverson.
Exactly, because right, why? Well, he's not really
We don't need to mock him anymore.
Well, ask AI about all those times as a 76er. That's what you're going
to
do.
And Iverson, he comes here for the white parties. He comes here for his turn. He's got his basketball thing here, mm-hmm. Tunica.
He does love Memphis now, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's got hookups here, man. He runs the city.
It was Lionel, right? He didn't like Lionel.
No, didn't like Lionel.
Well, he didn't like coming off the bench.
I don't think he liked the bench
either. Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. He didn't want to come off
Wouldn't
the bench.
Mark be the right answer? Mark is the most.
Oh, my Lord.
Mark's the answer.
I think Mark would absolutely.
Y'all going to talk about trips to Whole Foods?
And I think this just sort of really exposes.
Is it worldly, dude?
I was telling Jason this off the air. I think this just exposes his inability to have a high-level conversation.
So, I'm offended like Aaron Rodgers when you say something like that. What the hell does that mean?
What you want to talk about with Tony, man? What y'all going to talk about?
We're going to talk about all his stories. Tony going to tell the truth. Going to talk about Boo Ray. Tony will tell the truth. You're going to get some flowery, beautiful conversation with Mark before he gets bored with you.
I don't know.
Mark gonna be sitting there with his hand on his fist like, do I have to be here? This guy doesn't know the game. With Tony, who's more down to earth, right? What you gonna ask Mark? Some gardening questions? He don't want to talk to you about basketball.
You don't
understand it the way he does.
See, but you have to talk about basketball with
like
Tony
Mark.
Allen.
It's all beautiful. It's all artsy, and there's a level to it that us as civilians can't understand. Mm-hmm. So it would probably bore him to have that conversation with us.
I think there's.
But Tony will tell us all the stories. He's one of us. You know, basically. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Tony's a very interesting guy, and if you want to hear like the stories of garden people and stuff like that,
I don't want to overlook anybody, but Tony's the one. I know it ain't Mark.
But I feel like there's more layers to the conversation with Mark. Man, you can have a conversation about life with Mark Gasol.
I got somebody better than TA because I realize we've heard a lot of the TA stories. Kwame Brown.
Well, that's true.
Kwame, I thought you were going to say Quincy Pondexter.
You talk about a lively night.
Now, I don't think Kwame Brown would want to do dinner with me.
He no. count,
and or
he,
Brad.
Kwame. And he counts more as Grizzly than Allen Iverson does.
Bro.
Okay? Kwame going to be going off on some folks.
Yeah.
And I'd have a good time listening. But I'd tell him, Kwame, you got to calm down.
Yeah.
You can't let this take away from your joy like you have.
Forgot about Kwame.
Yeah, don't forget about Kwame now.
Well, I don't think Kwame would go to dinner with me or Brad.
Both of y'all picked the same boring dude, Mark Gasol. I should have known.
He's a damn sommelier, man. He could pick out the wine. He could start it off.
Okay, I give you that you'd have. But y'all, again, just like basketball, y'all beneath him on your wine selections and choices as well. Yeah. You ain't going to be able to understand half the stuff you say.
Like, if the question were who would you want to have a beer with?
That's a different question.
Like, it might be Tony Allen.
Yes.
It might be Jason Williams. You know, like
you act like difference between beer and a dinner is like, oh, at a beer you're gonna laugh and slap, you know, slap thighs and all that stuff. All of that's
like
funny.
A dinner is
but
just
a dinner you're sitting back
up.
And waiting for your next course or
you
something.
You are.
Yes. No, stop,
dude. You said you want to go.
This man get out to Southwind and now it's all Jason can't have a high level conversation.
Well, yeah, but
he can't choose a wine.
Yeah, but you said you want to go like to Long John Silver's with Tony Allen, and that's
I said
your dream
Gus
dinner.
Is fool.
That's your dream dinner.
I said Gus's or Fleming's. Either way, it's gonna be entertaining, but again, I found a new one with Kwame.
Again, Kwame Brown, I just feel like that would be very combative. He would like start going off on the waiters and the waitresses.
Can't go with Jeff Green. He ain't gonna do much talking.
Jeff Green, no.
He didn't even like the questions. He didn't like the questions the other night from the TNT crew.
He's
never impressed by Charles or anything those fools say. He keeps it low profile.
He sure does.
Even when he goes 7 of 8 from three.
It's amazing that nobody has considered the current team. Like, you don't think there's anybody from the current team that would be interesting to do dinner with.
Well, John Moran's got the it factor. What are you talking about?
I don't know. In terms of a dinner, a conversation, you know?
Oh, dude, he's going to be a superstar. Plus, John Moran will entertain you.
Can't play basketball during the dinner, man.
Okay, that's one way to ask the question. Y'all both pick Mark. What a boring answer for both of you guys. How about the one you'd least likely to dine with?
Mm.
You'd least like to dine with.
Mm. I got to think about all
past that. Or present Grizzly, you don't want no part of. Even if he said, John, Brad, come with me.
Like, what is
dinner.
That? Like, you mean like in terms of like their personality?
I'm just saying who you're not going with. I'm not qualifying it with anything. I'm just saying a person, one you'd least like to go with.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.